If you are a teacher, parent, administrator, student, and or anyone who loves reconnecting children with nature, and you want to figure out how to cultivate learning gardens and nature-based curriculum, then this is the podcast, the Outdoor Classrooms Podcast. My name is Victoria Hackett. I am the founder of OutdoorClassrooms.com and the Secret Gardens Nature Classes. I love witnessing the magic that happens when children are playfully learning outdoors, observing the return of wonder and curiosity when children are interacting with nature is pure magic. This is the podcast that is going to help you capture children's interest and give you not only inspiration, but some real life strategies that are going to help you figure out how to use the outdoor space, your outdoor space, as a teaching tool, so you can enlighten the playful learning experience for young children. Welcome to our Outdoor Classrooms community. Hello, everybody. We have Jen Galher here. She is the owner and founder of Little Beginnings Learning Center in Hastings, Minnesota, as well as Just-in-Time Teachers, an early childhood substitute teacher and coaching company. Jen's educational background is in elementary education and early childhood education from UW River Falls. Since 1999, Jen has operated Little Beginnings alongside her husband, Wade. Her vision is to cultivate an environment where nature, faith, and community are integral to the program, creating a faith-based atmosphere where children can grow and experience the love of God through nature. In her free time, Jen enjoys hiking, horseback riding, gardening, camping, and traveling. Without further ado, Jen Galher. Hello, everybody. Hello, Jen. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you.
Good. Welcome. Welcome. I would love to just dive right in and ask you about yourself and where you're from and maybe a little bit about who you were before becoming a nature-based educator and the founding of Little Beginning Learning Center.
Yeah. Well, my early childhood journey actually began when I was 15 years old. So I started working in a child care center when I was in high school through college, and then I got married and continued working in early childhood through my younger years. And some turn of events led me from, I was going to be a kindergarten teacher, that was my goal, and just some turn of events, having a child quite young. I was 21, got married at 20, had a baby at 21. And so it just kind of made sense to stay in early childhood, and I loved it, and it just felt like a great fit for me. So I live in Minnesota. I've lived in Minnesota my whole life. So we get the change in seasons. Sometimes winter can be quite long, yeah. But we make the best of it. Minnesotans, we are hardy. We get out there and we enjoy the weather no matter what. So as far as, you know, I worked my way up to being a lead teacher, and then eventually took my first directing job at a center. And about 5 years later, when I was 29 years old, I started my own childcare center. And at that time, I was not, I don't think the nature schools were really on the scene, but I myself live on a hobby farm and raised my kids out in the country. So it was a passion of mine. I'm an avid hiker. I love to travel, all of those things, and love to watch birds and taught my kids that, and foraging and all of those things. More is just a hobby. But as I started my center, I realized how many kids did not have that luxury. And it really can feel like a luxury. But what I wanted to do was simplify it, that you didn't have to live on a farm. You didn't have to live in the country to be able to enjoy nature. And so I started my center in 99, but it wasn't until about 10 years ago when I transitioned to a nature-based school, when it was really coming on the scene and people understood it more. And I haven't looked back.
So I want to let our listeners know that this is also an Outdoor Classrooms tour and talk, which that means that we are also looking at beautiful, beautiful pictures from your program. And that if all of our circle members can see the Outdoor Classrooms tour and talk in the membership community. So this is one of the benefits that they get. But otherwise, You'll be listening to Jen's amazing stories. So let's see here. We've got a beautiful painting happening outside. So can you tell us a little bit more about Little Beginnings and your program and how it's become nature-based?
Yeah. So in our first probably 12-ish or so years, we rented space and in kind of a corporate office building, and it was still very nice. We loved it, but our playground situation was very limited. It was the typical playground equipment with the pea gravel, and we had a little bit of grassy area with like two trees. So towards the end of our time at that place, we were creating nature-based bins that we would take outside and we would sit under the tree, and we had little tents that we would bring outside with us. And so we tried to embrace the nature piece as much as we could with what we were given. Mm-hmm. And because we were renting space, we weren't really able to transition the space that we had. And then due to other circumstances, we started looking for our own space. And that was a journey. I had really big goals and aspirations about what I wanted. And I knew that being in a strip mall or something like that was just not going to be a good fit. So we started to look at buildings kind of on the outskirts of the city. And after about 5 years of searching, we landed on the perfect space and ended up acquiring 2.5 acres, and we're able to build a 10,000 square foot building on that property that is outside of the city. We have farmland behind us. Just due to the nature of building, we actually have a small pond on our property that's a ponding basin, but we do get frogs and ducks and things like that that just naturally come to it. So that was kind of how the nature piece of it came about. And so we just are so blessed to have this space to share this with our families. And yeah.
Yeah. The pictures, again, it's incredible that your space is incredible. These pictures that you're sharing with us are incredible. So again, I think we're also speaking to the choir in terms of the power of outdoor learning. Did you see a shift from when you were in the strip mall to when you came to this incredible new space? Did you see a shift in your children in terms of their behavior, their attitude?
Oh, gosh, I can just go on and on the stories. But one of the first things that was really challenging was getting our parents to understand, when you look at this picture here, you can imagine the thoughts that were going through people's heads, right? Like, oh my gosh, that's not safe. What happens if they fall? What happens if they get scratches? You know, all of those things. And I remember posting photos on our social media and specifically grandparents responding saying, that's not safe. Why would you put those things on your playground? And so I remember just kind of having to navigate some of those like negative feelings towards our space. And not only that, it did take some time for our kids to be comfortable and get their feet and their bearings. So I can tell you, the first 6 months, we had lots of falls and some minor injuries. I never questioned it, but there were a few times where, you know, after a couple had lacerations and things that I was like, Oh, what have I done? But then what we started to see was the shift of the kids learning about balance and how to navigate climbing a tree or walking on rocks. You can see in this photo here that we have some big rocks on our landscaping area. That's our sandbox. And now it's like, it's not that we don't have injuries, but they're minor and the kids have learned how to navigate that. And and you asked about behaviors too. Man, it's like the kids, it's night and day. It's not that we don't have behavioral issues, but it's like you're having a rough morning, you take them outside and it's like those behaviors disappear.
Yeah, it's amazing. And it's just, these pictures are just so fascinating. So the vastness and difference, like one picture here, we're looking at sticks and branches and building a huge fort. And now we're in this incredible sand area where they're digging and just sharing that time together. So as the director, how do you facilitate your love and passion onto your educators.
Yeah. So that has also been a journey because, you know, our staff, I've noticed not only have children not had the experiences, I noticed there's a lot of adults that don't have those experiences well. So getting our staff to kind of change that mindset of like, it's okay for kids to get dirty. It's okay for them, you know, to have challenges and they might get bumps and scrapes and we don't have to freak out. We don't have to freak out if they get a wood tick. Just those sorts of things of just kind of changing that mindset with our staff. And so a lot of the journey has been letting them be part of the process in like, what do we get to put on our playground? What kind of trainings interest you? What do you want to learn more about? I know, Victoria, we had you this winter and had you do a winter, you know, give us some insight on how we can make winter more fun outdoors.
In Minnesota.
In Minnesota. When it can be like negative 20.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And then also just like I think there'll be some pictures in here later about our gardens or one of our first photos was the gardens. Even just teaching our staff, like, how do you garden? How do you grow things with kids? Because that alone is a challenge. But like, if you don't have the knowledge, how do you teach it if you don't either? Right. So, you know, we bring in some master gardeners to like do, how do we garden with kids? How do we make that fun and not stressful?
Absolutely. And I love, love, love that you said mindset, because I think there are a lot of educators out there, and even you might be one of them that are listening, that feel that, oh, I need to be an expert in nature-based education or an expert on birding, and I need to know the names of every single plant. And I think the message here is no. It's actually better to be learning alongside of your children. And when the children see that maybe you don't have all the answers, that you're actually, well, let's go explore those answers together. And I think that just says it all. I love this picture because you were also talking about just the essence of not freaking out when kids get dirty. And so you've got two kids here in their rain suits and completely swimming in the mud. Yes. So can you share any other, or even first how you add the sort of curriculum piece to your outdoor classroom, like literacy and numeracy, but then also maybe share some of these memorable moments that you have and success stories that you have from children learning outdoors?
Well, first of all, one of the things that we tell our parents is there's no such thing as bad weather, just bad clothing. So I think preparing your families for that is like the best route to start with, and always giving them a heads up of what to expect. So we always try to tell our parents like, hey, this is coming. Understand that you're going to get a bag full of muddy clothing. But as far as aligning outdoor learning, you know, we kind of use the outdoor classroom as an extension of our indoor classroom. So there's really no bounds. You know, we tell our teachers, bring things from inside outside, bring things from outside inside. And things like literacy and numeracy don't have to be store-bought items. So a lot of things that we use are sticks and rocks, and you can do number lines and counting and all of those things with items from nature. And we really believe in child-led learning. So yes, we have curriculum. However, a large portion of our day is discovering as kids find things. You know, they find a bug on the playground. So then we might start looking at, you know, you mentioned you don't have to know everything. You don't have to have it all together. You don't have to have it all figured out. And so we do have, you know, we'll have birding books, tree books, identification books, things like that. So if we find a bug, we might pull out our little handy dandy book and look up, what is the name of this bug? What does this bug look like? What is it, you know, what does it do? What does it eat? Things like that. And so we're learning right along with the kids as they're learning. And so we might be talking about one thing and it can be totally derailed by the frog that they found by the pond. And then we just go with it. I think it takes a lot of pressure off the staff as well to feel like they have to stay on a schedule and they have to complete all the things they need to complete because the kids are constantly learning at all times, even if you're not staying strict to your schedule.
Yeah. And I think that's oftentimes when they're learning the most, when they're off your schedule, when they're kind of doing their own thing. And it's through that playful learning piece. Do you have any memorable experiences or success stories that you have with your children outdoors?
Well, you know, I think the behavior thing is like the biggest thing that we see is that just children who really struggle with self-regulation, those sorts of things, we just see them come alive.
Yeah.
And I think parents seek us out because they know that their child is going to struggle in maybe a very, you know, a program that is more strict and structured, lots of sitting, that sort of thing. And so I would say those are success stories, as well as just building community. As part of our program also, we really thrive on building our community. And so we hold lots of special events. I don't know if there's a photo in here, but we do have a seating area in our backyard that is like an amphitheater, sort of. And so we, every year we hold a Mother's Day event, a Father's Day event, Grandparents' Day event. We do a winter event where we have bonfires in our parking lot and the parents come out. We have vendors, we have items for sale, hot soup and hot cocoa, and just really using the outdoors to build community. And I would say that that is a huge benefit to having that outdoor space and really having that be an extension of who we are.
I love that. I also feel the desperate need to embellish that community is to really not just say, okay, I'm dropping my kid off at school. I feel like just even now more than ever since COVID and everything and we're all being separate, I feel this incredible need to we've probably upped the ante with Zoom and making connections that way. But I feel just the in-person events being so critical. And I'm seeing that across the board in terms of a lot of programs that I've been interviewing in terms of just they're upping the ante with developing that community. And I commend you for that. I just think it's and the fact that you have this beautiful campus to do it on makes it even better. And it just taking advantage of that. What I also love is hearing your stories about just the comparison of being in a sort of a strip mall, so to speak, and renting space, and then being in this glorious outdoor space, this expansive space. I almost feel like there's a difference there in terms of sort of this indoor experience versus the opportunities that you have opened up with this expansive campus that you now have. It's just incredible. Is there any advice that you would give educators and or parents to bring more outdoor learning into their homes or their childcares or programs? Any advice that you have that you've experienced over the years?
You know, I think the biggest piece of advice that I have is just encouraging parents to not be afraid of what life throws at them. When it's funny, and I do think with, you brought up COVID, I do think with that, it has made parents a little bit more nervous and intrepid and things like that. And so I just want to encourage parents to get outside more and not be, you know, afraid of your kids getting dirty or the potential of getting stung by a bee. And all of those are things that are just learning opportunities and don't have to be scary. And also just, again, I keep bringing this back to behavior, but it's like, you will see a huge transformation in your kids when they get out and they experience nature and they experience fresh air. And even just, I'm a bit advocate for grounding. My husband makes fun of me all the time, but I'm like, I need to get outside and be barefoot, you know? And it's like, we don't even make a big deal at our school. Like if the kids want to take off their shoes and squish in the mud or the sand or whatever, you know, we don't care. They can do that. So it's like clothes can be washed, bodies can be washed, and just like allow some freedom and be comfortable with that.
Yeah. And I think it's also with that mindset with us adults is to give children that permission. And you can tell children who have not been given that permission. They kind of look at you and they're not sure, but other children who have been, they have the right gear, they jump right in and that type of thing. So can you tell me a little bit about how your outdoor space in your new program, it's not so new anymore, what that transformation was like in terms of you've got this brand new blank slate. How did you transform that space into an outdoor classroom?
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to lie. It was very overwhelming. I had visions in my head and my visions were grandiose. And so we all know that money is a factor, right? Like that's just the reality of it. And nature-based playgrounds can be, you know, a playground system, like a traditional playground system is expensive also, but landscaping is very expensive when you start adding those sorts of things, you know, paths and retaining walls and things like that. So it was overwhelming. I knew what I wanted. I had gone a lot of routes of like, was I going to hire a company? Our program is Nature Explore certified. I know there's lots of certifications mm-hmm. out there. So they were very helpful in kind of offering information. They do offer services, but I also knew that was probably not going to be something I could do because they would have to fly there and look at my space. And so there was a cost to that. And so what I ended up doing is just looking at some local landscapers and just started talking about what my thoughts is. And they had never heard of it before. So I had to show.
Interesting.
Yes, it was not something they had ever heard before or had ever done. So I had to really like put my vision down and get them to understand what my vision was. Mm. And so it was a lot of me showing them pictures, me telling you the purpose, you know, telling them the purpose behind what it is I wanted. And then it was like, how do we make this happen? And things that I thought would work didn't work. You know, I didn't realize our backyard was such a hill. So, you know, it was like a big hill. So we knew we had to put in retaining walls. And then we were having drainage issues and dirt running down the, you know, so the journey was not the easiest. And we're on year 8. And we're still always trying to figure out how to make something better or do something different. And having the hill is a challenge because we can end up with, we've had mud slide down the hill into our sandbox, and it was a journey. But at the, you know, when it was all said and done, it's like, I can't tell you, especially in the summertime, when I look out there, there's no one in their classrooms, no one, not even our infants. And I look outside and it's like going to a park and just seeing everyone enjoying the space. And there's nothing that makes my heart happier.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So I would just tell anyone who is on the journey of making this happen, and maybe they don't have a blank slate. Maybe they are having to like recreate areas, you know, from a traditional playground, but just know that like the journey might not be easy, but at the end it's worth it. And so what may have looked easy for somebody else, like you look at my program and you go, wow, that's great. And that's beautiful. You had a blank slate. That must've been easier than, you know, everybody has their journey, but just stick with it and it will be worth it.
Yeah. What I love about outdoor classrooms is that there's this constant, it's never over. It's never like, oh, we're done. It's this constant sort of evolution. And I love that you said sort of, yeah, we're just constantly trying to make it work better. And it's, mm-hmm. you know, not that we just did this one big thing. It's this constant seeing how the different kids use the different spaces and the different invitations and thinking about different things that you can add. I love this picture of just boys playing baseball and having that big expansive space just to do that is such a gift for children. So again, seasons. I was very, very lucky enough to meet your staff during the cold, cold winter in Minnesota. That was joyous. How do you manage outdoor learning across the different seasons? And does that still work in Minnesota with all your unpredictable weather?
It absolutely does. It is just a constant mindset change. And it's not without its frustrations. Even just like I'm looking at this picture with the beautiful trees. It's like, you know, somebody said to me, you can't put plants and trees on your playground. you will not have grass on your playground if you have children. I guarantee it will be all mud and dirt. Your trees won't make it. They won't survive. And I was like, you know what? I don't believe that. I think we can teach the kids. And yeah. So we have been successful. Like, you know, I had a dream of having all of these beautiful trees and creating shade for the kids. And so we have successfully done that. Now, that doesn't mean we still don't have, you're like, hey guys, there's a bush here. Let's not step on it.
Right.
So it's just teaching them. But we embrace all seasons. You can see in this picture, there's a child with an umbrella. So this is a spring photo in Minnesota. We get rain and we don't let rain stop us. We tell parents, watch the weather, send your children with the appropriate clothing. So we will be going outside, even if it's raining, obviously not if it's thundering and lightning, yeah. But they'll play outside for 30 minutes in the rain. We'll look for worms. We'll carry our umbrellas around. We'll splash in the puddles. So spring is, we can easily be out there. Summer obviously is our favorite. And so we very much enjoy summer and soak that in as much as we possibly can. Fall is also beautiful with the changing of colors. And I would say winter is our biggest challenge. We do, as I mentioned, we do have this hill, and you can see this on the other end of our playground. We have an open hill that we can go sledding. So if we have enough snow, we have sledding. And we had to, you know, we came across the issue of like, okay, we also have a fence at the bottom of our hill. So we ended up buying big mats to hang on our fence because kids were running into the fence. So there's always challenges.
Yeah. So you are Nature Explorer certified.
We are.
And even though they did, you did the setting up a little bit differently. Have you encountered any, I mean, your space is incredible. I mean, we're looking at a picture of a huge tire. Have you encountered any unique experiences because of this?
I wouldn't say so. I think, you know, Nature Explorer is really great. Obviously, they have their checklist of what we need to have. And so every year we make sure that we are, you know, following within those checklists and what they ask. We send photos. So if you go to the Nature Explorer website, you will actually find our program on there. So it's nice having that accountability. Children, we always try to add new things on our playground. And so there's always the challenges of teaching children how to use the equipment. Things break. You notice we have like wooden pallets, which we love for the kids to have. But we have to be mindful. We have to make sure that they're not going to get big slivers or screws fall out. Or even, you know, it can be frustrating. You'll make this beautiful like music station. And, you know, in a couple months, the kids have dismantled. And you have to look at each of those situations as an experience in itself. So maybe yeah. They didn't use it in the way that they were supposed to. But I think that's the biggest thing is like teaching kids how to use the items. And actually, and I think we might have talked about this in your training, Victoria.
We did. Yeah, I'm like, about, this is ringing a bell.
Yes. Like we talked about, how do we teach the children? It's even just like growing things like, okay, we are growing a tomato. Mm-hmm. We don't pick tomatoes until they're red. Man, as soon as they see those baby green tomatoes on there, they just want to rip them off the vines. And, you know, so it's like teaching them about patience and waiting and how to use the toys or the equipment that we've put out there for them in a way that's safe, but also they can explore and use their own imagination.
Right. So well said. And I love this picture of just blowing bubbles. And I really can see the expanse of your outdoor space. It's just...
One thing I want to say, Victoria, about this picture is I do some consulting with other directors. And a lot of times one of the challenges that they kind of get hung up on is, well, licensing won't allow us. Now this is of course, state of Minnesota, it varies across the, you know, the United States, but in Minnesota, they don't allow age groups to be mixed on the playground. So in a traditional Minnesota playground, you will see fences between the age groups on the playground. And I said, I know that's what it says in the rule, but it's amazing when you, I don't want to say push back, but you ask questions and say, why? please tell me why and explain to me why. And let's see if we can work around that. And so we were able to get a variance. When I showed them what we wanted to create, I was able to get a variance from our licensor that said all age groups can be outside together as long as we post that each group is in a different area of the playground. Now, that doesn't mean some kids don't cross over here and there, but for the most part, all of our areas are labeled and we have a schedule. So the staff know where to take their kids on what time of day so they can experience all the areas within a week. And the nice thing is siblings get to see each other and give each other a hug. And it's like, we're just a huge family when we're out there.
And I can't even imagine the intentionally separating age groups and that, because there's so much beauty that happens when an older kid is working with a younger kid and all of that.
Yeah,
it just seems
exactly.
It seems bonkers to me. But I know. And I love your message in terms of ask questions. Ask why and show them pictures.
And you'll be surprised at what your licensor may do when you give them a bigger story.
Yeah. Brilliant. Brilliant. So quick question in terms of what small action do you think teachers could take tomorrow to bring a little more nature into their lessons and into their programs if they're not already doing it? Or if they want to try something a little bit different, what small action do you think they could take?
Well, as I mentioned, when we first got started, we didn't have a traditional nature-based curriculum that we were using. And so we just started out by just creating little nature bins. So something very simple. So even if you're creating a math lesson, right, we can all find sticks. We can all find rocks. So instead of pulling out your little plastic blocks to do your counting or whatever, instead, pull out your rocks, pull out your sticks. If it's fall, maybe you're going to pull out pine cones. There's just so many different textures and things that you can add. And it doesn't have to be this big grandiose thing. Even just by creating little nature bins that, you know, go towards your curriculum. So we also had, so like we had a polar unit. And so we had a bin that had polar animals and little dramatic play stuff and winter type, you know, ice cubes, little plastic ice, just different things like that, that were more tangible, more nature to bring into it rather than just your typical, these are our plastic manipulatives and this is what we're going to play with.
I love it. So simple. And I think simplicity is the answer. So just looking at some other beautiful pictures here and, you know, really looking how educators are adapting to the curriculum. I love how you have sort of small spaces and then very large spaces where kids can really do outdoor movement. And again, what I loved what you said earlier in terms of just really learning how to balance and use their bodies. Is there something, a myth about outdoor early learning that you would love to quote unquote debunk?
I would say the myth about everyone's going to get hurt. Everyone's going to get injured. I'm going to have a lawsuit. I think that is something that is a myth. Yeah. And that is definitely something that I have spent the time debunking. And it's a lot easier now that we are established. We have a great reputation in the community. People love, like, they get on our waiting list because this is what they want for their kids. But as I mentioned at the beginning, it was something that I had to struggle through when I had questions asked of me, or if their child did come home with a scrape. Parents at one time, they just wanted an explanation for everything. And we actually have it in our policy book. We have what we call a big body play policy. And so in there, that policy talks about, we are a nature-based program. Your kids will get dirty. They will get bumps and scrapes, but all of this is part of the learning process of, like, how high can I climb? How far can I balance on this log? So it's giving children that ability to make decisions about risk. How far can I take it and learn that I know to take it this far without getting injured? Now, that doesn't mean we're hands off, right? Like, we have teachers that are here navigating that and helping them make those decisions as they move along in age. But it really is, I would say we don't have any more injuries at our program than we did when we had a pea gravel playground.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? It's amazing. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. To think, and I love that you can think about, you know, what it was like in that pea gravel playground versus where you are at now. It's incredible. And these pictures of just the summer, it's coming.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Yes.
So anything in terms of what's next for your program, anything just in terms of what you had talked about earlier, just constantly making your outdoor space better, or?
It's literally just every day it's a journey on how we can make it better and including our staff and making those decisions, right? Because if you include your staff, they are going to be more bought in. And it's always just a learning. We're always learning. We do have a pretty good staff retention, but we do have turnover. And we all know that we are all suffering with turnover in the early childhood realm. And it doesn't matter what state you are in. I empathize with you. And so we're bringing in new staff where we're having to implement that DNA into them to teach them. It's more rare for me to have somebody come in who is a nature connoisseur. It's usually the opposite. It's usually somebody who's just not at all familiar with how it works. And so we train them.
Yeah. That's my vision, is that they come out of their training going into schools and they have already had that. That's my dream. We're coming to a close here. I would love and you've given so many seeds of inspiration to educators and parents along the way. Do you have any one last seed of inspiration that you would offer an educator and or parent that you haven't already mentioned?
Oh, I more just like baby steps. Don't get frustrated. Yeah. If this is a passion of yours, find people who have gone before you. I'm constantly talking with people who are saying, how did you do it? What benefits have you seen? It's like, if it is something you are passionate about, baby steps and work with the space that you have, and you can make it amazing, even in a small space.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you. Where can we find you? And we will again put all the information in the show notes, but where can we find you?
So my center, Little Beginnings Learning Center, we are on Facebook and we are on Instagram. We actually have an amazing social media page. So if you want some nature inspiration, my husband is a hobby photographer. So that's, you know, you saw a lot of his photos. So we have a great social media. I also own an early childhood substitute company called Just In Time Teachers. So I have a website and Instagram page for that as well. And in both places you can find me, I do some consulting. So if anybody is interested in hearing more about how to set up a nature-based program, or you just want some tips and tricks of how to make your program run better, I'm happy to help with that as well. So, yeah.
Perfect. Great. Thank you so much for coming.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a joy.
Terrific. Thank you for joining us for today's episode. Before we sign off, we have an exciting opportunity for educators looking to bring learning to life outdoors. Consider enhancing your teaching journey with the Outdoor Classrooms Teacher Certification Program. This program empowers educators to transform any outdoor space into a dynamic learning environment. By joining, you'll gain skills to inspire students and foster a deeper connection with the natural world. Interested in making a difference with outdoor learning? Visit www.outdoor-classrooms.com to learn more about enrolling in the certification program. Don't miss the chance to expand your teaching toolkit and inspire the next generation with the joy of outdoor education. Thank you for listening, and remember to subscribe to our podcast for more inspiring content. Until next time, keep inspiring young minds.